job.
Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, now the 19th chapter of the book of Isaiah, as we go through this great, great book. Isaiah chapter 19. We're going to begin in the first verse. The burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptian against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother and everyone against his neighbor. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers, and the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master. And a fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us now in this time to Jesus. Move within us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 13 of the book of Isaiah begins a section of the book, and some people call it the book of burdens. And so we have burden, 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 and burden, burden, burden. And that's what happens through 13 on into the past the 20th chapter. We see these burdens. The Bible sometimes speaks in general ways, and it covers wide territories. And sometimes it applies, and many times it applies to all of us. At other times, the Bible gets very specific in its target. So he directly targets Babylon, Moab, Damascus, and in this chapter centers in on Egypt. Now let me tell you about the miracle of God's word. You know, it really doesn't matter where I am and what passage I am in and where you touch the Bible has a way of getting through to you. Has a way of slapping you upside the head sometimes when you least expect it to straighten out your life. And so God has a way to step on your toes even when he's talking about something that seems far away. In Isaiah, we find important prophecies. In Isaiah, you have the birth of Jesus hundreds of years before the star was over Bethlehem. Everything Isaiah said about the first coming of Jesus that was going to take place did take place exactly as predicted. Every prophecy about every nation, it was in the future to Isaiah, and yet they all came about and were fulfilled. Now, he also prophesies about things that are yet to come. Isaiah speaks of the second coming of our Lord, and I look forward to Jesus coming. Oh, that it would be today. He tells us there will be a time of tribulation, a horrible time, a time of judgment that falls on this earth. And by the way, Revelation chapter 4, Christians, we are out of here. God has not appointed us to wrath. We don't go through the tribulation, and I stand on that. I believe that to be true, and we look for the coming of the Lord to take us away. But if you don't know Jesus, oh my, you don't want to go through that day. You need to come to Jesus today. Now, what Isaiah predicted that was to have already happened has happened. It was in the future to him. He predicted it in the future. To happen in the future, and it has. If he has been right in all his predictions, as he has, then what do we know about the rest? Those things that he has predicted will come, will come. Let me tell you something about the prophet of God. First of all, I will tell you, I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. Now, how do you know that? A prophet has to be right 100% of the time. Becky will tell you that's not me. So what Isaiah says about the end times will come to pass. After the great tribulation, Jesus will set up his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. This will be a time of world peace. Everyone will bow at the name of Jesus. These prophecies are echoed for us in Revelation. God tells us again, and then he tells us again what's going to take place. He tells us here of Egypt. Egypt is well known. What do you think of when you think of Egypt? Most of us think of pyramids. We think of the Sphinx. We think of scarabs. We think of pharaohs, Cleopatra. Oh, yes, mummies. A few weeks ago, we had Mother's Day in Egypt. I guess they have Mummies Day. Egypt appears over and over again through the Bible, but it has a direction attached to it. In the scripture, we find Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he was taken down into Egypt. Pharaoh held the children of Israel as slaves down in Egypt. Moses would go and challenge the Pharaoh to let his people go down in Egypt. The Lord Jesus, as a young child, would be threatened by Herod, and he was taken down into Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is always down. Jerusalem in the Bible is always up. Now, physically, on a map, you can see that designation. Egypt would be down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem would be up. But it's actually a spiritual designation. Spiritually, Egypt is away from God. When the young Christ child was taken into Egypt, it was a picture of God himself coming from the throne of heaven into this old Egypt, sinful world. Now, Isaiah tells us there are going to be changes made down in Egypt. Egypt today is a Muslim-dominated nation. It's the hub of the Arab-Muslim world. Isaiah is going to tell that peace will come to the Middle East. Nation upon nation will come together. Today, there's not a lot of coming together. Oh, yes, we're trying to see some nations, some little specks of hope in some of the Arab countries, and we hope for that, we pray for that, that they will come to peace with Israel. But for the most part, there is hatred. The Muslims hate the Jews. The president of Iran has said he is determined to kill every Jew and wipe Israel off the map. Now, that is not the word of someone who's going to embrace Israel. There will come a day when all these nations will be at peace. We don't see it now, but there will come that day. In this passage, we see Egypt devastated. 19 verse 1, the burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst thereof. The Lord will come riding on a cloud. In other places, we see him riding on a horse. He's riding on a cloud. How in the world can he ride on the cloud? It's his cloud. God has power over nature, and it says Jesus will have power over all nature, so when he returns, it's not a problem for him to ride in on a cloud. The idols of Egypt will melt away. They will be moved because idols can't stand in the presence of the true God. Egypt has been and is a seat of idol worship. There are times they should have learned. They are polytheistic. That means they believe they're a God, they're a God, everywhere a God, God. And that's how they believe. And so they worship many gods. Today, we're surrounded by people who say they don't worship any God, but in truth, the people that don't worship any God worship a lot of gods. They allow other things to direct their lives. My friend, anything you allow to direct your life and your heart instead of Jesus Christ is your God. Remember the plagues that God sent to Egypt? You know, there were 10 great plagues that came upon them. One of the things that you don't readily see is God was attacking the false gods of Egypt. Now, he was trying to get Pharaoh's attention, absolutely. But he was doing so by attacking the gods that he was worshiping. There's the God of life, new or happy. God turned the waters to blood. There was the God Heket. Now, Heket was a goddess with a frog's head. You see, they didn't have to have attractive gods. And so it had a frog's head. What did God do? God said, you like frogs? I'll send you frogs. And there was a plague of frogs. It was a problem for the Egyptians. The frogs came in. Frogs were everywhere. They couldn't do anything to them because they worshiped them. Their god of the earth, Jeb. God sent lice to dig under their skin to stop them from their ceremonies to Jeb. The god Amun-Ra, their king of gods, he had the head of a beetle. Well, a frog might be better, but he had the head of a beetle. What did God do? He sent a swarm of beetles to bite and infect them. Their animal gods, they had several. Apis the bull, Hathor the cow-headed god, Bubastis the cat goddess. God sent a plague that spread among their animals. Their god Thoth or Isis is their medical god, the one they went to when they had physical maladies. God sent boils that could not be cured. Their god Shea, the wind god, or Nut, the sky god, God sent a fiery hail that fell from heaven, and their gods could do nothing because they are not gods. Their god Seth, the storm god, or Nephri, the god of grain, God sent a storm of locusts to take all their grain away. Their god Ra, the sun god, God sent 3 days of darkness that fell upon them. Their god Pharaoh, they truly lifted Pharaoh up and made him a god, and God sent death to the firstborn, including the one who would be the next Pharaoh. You see, God doesn't mess around. God is the only God. You may put something else in front of God and it will fall. It will not carry you through. God is the only one who can carry you through. Romans 1:21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They turned away from the true God. God has demonstrated to Israel that their false gods really didn't exist. And my friend, whatever you're looking to instead of Jesus, I want you to understand there is no power there. There is no forgiveness there. There is no love there. There is no hope there. How we need to turn our lives and our focus on Jesus Christ. Verse 2 speaks of the Egyptians turning against Egyptian. Now before they were overtaken by Assyria, there was a civil war in Egypt, and Egyptian turned against Egyptian. But in the last days, in the time of the tribulation, Egyptian will turn against Egyptian. They will not be able to turn to their brothers because they don't know which side their brother is on. They won't know who to trust. They are infighting, and they can't trust anybody, and that makes their life horrible. Listen, in a world of turmoil, we need strong churches, strong believers who can know and love and care for one another. At Northside Baptist Church, we are a family. Listen, you are ours, we are yours, and we should be able to trust one another, rely on one another, pray for one another. God has blessed us with so many praying people, and many of you have been blessed as a result of that prayer life. We need each other. That's why we need to come together in worship. That's why, you know, when people are able to be here, they need to be here. We're thankful that we have the internet when it works. We're thankful to be able to send out a message to the world. But it's not the same as being with other believers. And so I encourage you, make this an every week part of your life, because we need you. And whether you know it or not, you need us. So they're not going to be able to turn to anyone because they won't be able to trust anyone. They will get no help from their idols, no help from the familiars or the wizards that they look to. Verse 4, "And Egypt I will give over to a cruel lord, a fierce king." Well, that was partially fulfilled in 670 BC. Assyria conquered them, took the Egyptian people as slaves. But it will be worse in the tribulation. Verse 5, "The waters shall fall from the sea and the river." They based their whole life on the Nile. They believed that life came from the Nile. And when the Nile dries up, where are they going to look? Their economy begins to fall because their economy is built on the Nile. In verse 8, "The fishers shall mourn." Listen, if you're a fisherman and there's no water, you're out of luck. In verse 9, "The textile industry will fall." The Nile would overflow every year, as the Jordan would overflow every year. It would spread water and silt wherever it overflowed. That silt would make very fertile ground, which would allow the crops to grow. But without the Nile, there is no possibility of the crops. In verse 10, "And they shall be broken in the purposes thereof." There will be a total economic collapse. Listen, when your economy dives and you don't have godly people to show you the way, you're in trouble. We've seen that in our own nation. Egypt devastated. That's what sin will do. It does it to Egypt, it will do it to you. I don't know what sin you're holding on to. I don't know what pet sin you have. I don't know what sin you fight against. But let me tell you, in every case, it is against God and it will damage you. We need to turn to Jesus. Egypt deluded in verse 11. "Surely the princes of Zoan," you know Zoan, ever been to Zoan? Zoan is a major capital in Egypt. And so the princes of Zoan are fools. "The council of the wise counselors of Pharaoh have become boorish. How say you to Pharaoh, 'I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings'? Where are they? Where are the wise?" When people reject the Lord, they're headed toward disaster and delusion. God deludes the leaders of Egypt. Listen, when you have leaders that do not follow the true God, how are they going to lead your nation where it needs to go? That is going to be true in Egypt, but let me tell you, that is just as true in the United States of America. When people reject the Lord, they're headed toward disorder and delusion. Egyptians' leaders are confused. Let me tell you, they're going to be confused in Zoan, one of the capitals in Egypt. Let me tell you, we have seen confusion in a city called Washington. You know, it seems that they just can't get their act together. The delusion of people that do not follow God is where crazy things come from. Can I tell you, it is crazy. It is crazy to say biological men can compete in women's sports. It is crazy to say we need to open up women's bathrooms to biological men. Now, everybody knows that's crazy, but we have people touting that in our nation's capital. You see, the crazy ideas come up because people aren't looking to God who gives reason and order. And that's just an example. Have you heard some of these crazy ways that they've been spending our tax money? I mean, you know, playing for a Sesame Street show in one of the Mongolian areas. I don't mind that they have Sesame Street. I just don't think we should pay for it. But there are things far crazier than that. Where do they come from? They come from a people that do not know God, that don't have God's leading. And so this delusion comes over their leaders, and the delusion slips into the people. Their economy goes bad, and their leaders can't get them out. In verse 17, "And the land of Judah shall be a terror to Egypt. Everyone that makes mention of it shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord." Here's mighty Egypt, strong armies, rich. They are in panic mode anytime somebody mentions Judah. Now, that's certainly not the case today, but let me tell you, Israel gets the attention of every Arab country. And there is fear. There's fear for this reason. Israel doesn't play. If Israel says they're going to get you, they're going to take action. When they declare war, they go to war. And all their country goes to war with them. They are backed by a people that are together. One day, God will move. Egypt will be terrified at the thought of Israel. The scripture reveals that the Lord causes this, and when God is on your side, you're the winner. It doesn't matter how little you are, it doesn't matter how big you are. If God is with you, you've got it. When I was a wee lad of a boy in my home in Gadsden, Alabama, on Penny Circle, we had a group of friends. I don't know what caused this. I can't go back and figure that out. But there was a time that I was out by the street, and I was surrounded by guys that I thought were my friends, but that day they weren't. Guys on bicycles surrounded me, and, you know, they were saying some nasty things, and they were, you know, attacking me one at a time, and, you know, it wasn't a pleasant experience. And I just told them, I said, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know why you're angry at me, but I'll fight you if you want to. You know what? They took those bikes and they sped away. I was bad, yeah. I turned around, and my father was standing there. Let me tell you, I can do nothing, but my Heavenly Father can do everything. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln was once asked in the Civil War, "President, do you think that we're on God's side?" And he said, "It matters not. If we're on God's side, the thing that matters is that God is on our side." We need to have God guiding us, God leading us, God directing us. And that is certainly true today. Egypt sees disaster, then their leaders are deluded, but Egypt is delivered. In verse 18, "In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of Egypt, a pillar at the border of its to the Lord. Isaiah begins this prophecy with the phrase, in that day. You'll see it a lot in the rest of this passage. From verse 18 till the end of the chapter, that phrase shows up five times. The day that he's speaking of, that day, refers to the end times. It refers to the millennial reign of Jesus. When Jesus reigns in Egypt, there will be five major cities in Egypt that will speak Hebrew. They will speak the language of God's people. Today, they despise anything to do with the Jews. That day, they will be drawn to them because they will be drawn to the same God that the Jews are going to worship that day, and his name is Jesus. In that day, they will long to be the friends of Israel. In verse 19, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border of the Lord, of the land. They're not just going to speak Hebrew. By the way, Hebrew is tough. It is. It's backwards. It's written backwards. And so, you know, you don't read this way, you read that way. It's strange. It's written in characters. And all of that. So they will have all that down. They will learn it all. They will know the word. But more importantly, they will know God. They will be bowing down to the Lord. There will be no mistake. When you cross the borders into Egypt, there will be pillars that are set up that says, this is God's country. And we worship the one true God. And so everybody coming into Egypt won't be looking for Mohammed. They will be bowing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They will know Jesus. We believe that when you bow to Jesus, when you invite him to be your Savior and Lord, Jesus is willing to forgive. Jesus is willing to save. Jesus is willing to take your life and make your life what he wants it to be and to bless your life. That is true for anybody that comes to Jesus. And in that day, it's going to be true for those in Egypt. Verse 20, and he shall send them a Savior. There is only one Savior. His name is Jesus. Many who totally cry out to Allah today are going to turn and bow to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. The only answer for peace in the Middle East is Jesus. The only answer for peace in your life to deal with what you're dealing with, to deal with the stress that's on you, is Jesus. We need to turn to him. We need to serve him. We need to bow before him. A friend who works with Homeland Security told me that there's strange things happening in Egypt. There are large groups in the desert of Egypt that are turning from Islam, and missionaries report that they are bowing to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's happening right now. Could it be that God is preparing for that day? Could it be that God is getting things ready and that we are close to that day when Jesus will come again? Listen, you and I may not see the second coming of Jesus. I look for him. I pray for that to happen. I am ready to go when he is ready to come. But you need to be ready. You need to be ready. There will be a day when Egypt will be saved because Egypt will look to the Savior, Jesus Christ. But what about you? You see, the only way you get ready is to get Jesus. And if you've never met Jesus as your Savior, you need to come to Jesus. If you're here today and don't know him and want to know him, just walk down an aisle. Just come down and say, I want Jesus. We will pray with you. Jesus will come by your faith into your heart and life. He will save your soul. If you are a believer and you've just been leaving God out, listen, if God can get Egypt's attention, God can get your attention, And your attention needs to be on him today. The sooner you get back to the Lord, the sooner you start serving the Lord, the sooner that you follow the Lord, the better your life will be. And you will make a difference in those around you. Today we celebrate our high school graduates, and we are thankful for them. We're thankful for what God's done in their lives. But you know what I thank God most for? Every one of our high school graduates at some point in their life bowed down and invited Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. I am not going to tell you they're perfect, even as a grandfather. I will not tell you that, because they're not. But their best life will be lived living for Jesus. No matter where they've stepped off track, they need to get on track for Jesus. And their future is more secure in God's hands as they walk with Jesus. You believe that's true for our seniors? Amen? It's true for you too. Let's make sure Jesus is first. Let's walk with him. Let's serve him. Let's praise him before Egypt does. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your challenge to us, Father, for using Egypt to get our attention, to let us know there is only one true God, to let us know that we should be serving you day in and day out, to let us know, Father, that those that do not know Jesus need to come to Jesus, and they need to do it right now. Father, I pray that there will be individuals that will listen to this message, and Father, they might be confused by Egypt, but let them be clear on Jesus. And let Jesus become their Lord and Savior. Father, for believers, that we will get right, that we will serve Jesus, that we will be ready when Jesus comes. Move us to decision. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come as we sing?